so glad to see you all here today. I am. It just thrills my heart to be in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day, and especially on the Easter, the resurrection, the celebration of His resurrection. And I tell you, my heart is just overwhelmed today. I couldn't hardly sleep last night because I was thinking about today. And, you know, it makes me feel good when the church is full. But, you know, I'm still, no matter if there was three people, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there too. And so we can praise God anywhere we are. And I'm so glad to be here this morning with you. You know, Easter's the most important Christian holiday there is. And I know this society in America today, they would say some believe that Christmas is the most important. But let me tell you, without Easter, the birth of Jesus Christ would really not have mattered much. It would have just been the birth of another man, another prophet, without the resurrection. Back in the 90s, George Barna research said that 85% of Americans believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believed it was a factual event. A 2022 study done by Lifeway Research says that only 66% of Americans believe in the resurrection of Christ. That's quite a difference in numbers, isn't it? You know, but this decline, it's a number that's understood. I understand it more now than ever when we look around and we see the moral decline all around us every day. Our country is going down in its morality, in its faith-based morals and all that. I tell you, it just really hurts my heart to see our communities in the way that they are. And I tell you, I have to bring this to light today. I wasn't going to. This was not in my sermon. But I have to say the newest attack on our sacred day of celebration just happened this last Friday. And it just really, it upset me and it hurt me to think that on our sacred day, a proclamation was signed by Joe Biden on Friday declaring March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility. It was dedicated to honoring trans Americans, and this is no mistake that they chose this day. It's no mistake. And I know the church, we're called to love people. I'm not called to condemn people. But this is a direct attack on the church. They flaunt and glorify their sin, but let me tell you something. God will have the last word. You know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one of us here that are perfect today. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you came to a point where you confessed your sins before God. You repented and you gained forgiveness. So I ask you this morning, I want us to pray for our leaders in this country. I want us to pray for each other, pray for our people in our communities that they would come to know Christ, that they would repent and confess their sins and become born again. Amen?
Amen.
So this Easter day, as we celebrate this the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I want to tell you this, as long as I have breath, in me, as long as I have breath in me, this day, it will always be nothing else but Easter, Resurrection Day. And I pray today, help us, God. Help us, God. We need you, right? We need God. We need God in our lives, we need God in our country, and we need God in our communities. So will you join me this morning as Brother Keeley leads us in a prayer this morning?
Our Father, it is truly the most important day for Christians all over the world.
Yes, Lord.
It is the day
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You are alive, glorified. The Bible tells us that you spent time on earth in your glorified self and were seen as much as by 500 people. And then came that day that you ascended to heaven into the clouds to take your place at the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
And you are there in heaven right now.
Yes.
As our great high priest.
Yes.
That makes intercession for us. Think about that. Amen. As Christians today, your resurrection makes it possible for you to hear our prayers.
Yes.
And to make intercession for us and to move in our lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for sending your blessed Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's all a result of the resurrection. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and that's all because of the resurrection.
Amen, that's right.
Oh, we thank you today that you're alive.
Yes.
You are alive.
Amen.
Lord,
yes.
God.
Yes.
And you are ready to move upon anybody's heart that is willing in godly sorrow to believe and repent and confess. You'll make yourself real to them. Oh God, I pray if there be anybody here just because it's Easter and has never really called upon you and knows that you are really alive, oh, help them to realize that they can know. The moment that we confess and believe in our heart, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus' word says, thou shalt be saved.
Amen, that's right.
Oh God, all because of the resurrection.
Yes.
All because
yes.
you came out of the tomb.
Amen.
And you are going to reign forevermore. Oh God, bless our pastor.
Yes.
Anoint him, I pray.
Amen.
Give him the words we need to hear. And I pray that you will touch each heart present. And God, that will not go home the same way.
Yes, yes.
Lord, do it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glorify yourself. Father, we pray. Glorify the Son today in this service.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Good. You know, I have to say this. I'll not ask for forgiveness for being passionate for Jesus. Amen. You know, there's at least 15 historical records found in the scriptures that of Jesus meeting people and touching people and eating with people and talking with people after he rose from the grave. And at one time, a crowd of 500 people saw him after the resurrection. And there should be no doubt in our minds that the resurrection is a historical fact. And I want to ask you some questions this morning about the resurrection. The first is, what does it mean? And the second is like it is, what does it matter? And so let's look at the first question. It means Jesus is who he claims he is. Amen? That's what it means. It means he is who he claims he is to be. And do you know who Jesus claimed to be? You think about that this morning. Jesus never claimed to be a great religious leader. He never claimed to be a great prophet. He never claimed to be a man of God. But he did claim to be the Son of God. And by claiming this title, he claimed to be equal with God. In the religious leaders of that time, that really, to say you were equal with God or the Son of God, it means you know, that you had taken God's authority and you have God's power and that you are a direct descendant of God, and that's part of God's bloodline, if you're a part of God's bloodline. And of course, to them, this was blasphemy. They didn't like it. And no one could be equal with God unless you were the Son of God. And that's who he claimed to be. And this is exactly what Jesus claimed. And let me ask you a couple questions this morning. And who has the power to forgive sin? Let me tell you, God does. Who has the power to raise people up from the dead? And that's God does. Amen. Who has the power to grant eternal life? Amen. God does. And did you know Jesus did all these things? He did all of them. He forgave sin. He raised people from the dead. He told people that they would be with Him in heaven. Amen. He claimed to be equal with the Father because He was. Amen. He was. We as Christians believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, don't we? God became flesh and dwelled among men, and this is what Jesus claimed. And so when you look at Matthew chapter 16, it says this. He, Jesus, said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You see, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and he was saying He was equal with the Father, and He has the power to grant this eternal life. So a couple other claims that Jesus made. With Jesus in John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And these are really strong claims as well, and He claims to be the resurrection and the life. He also claims to be the way and the truth and the life. And He doesn't say a way. He doesn't say one way. He doesn't say just another way. He says, I am the way. Amen.
Amen.
You know, all roads, let me tell you this morning, all roads don't lead to heaven. That's a lie. It really is. And that's like saying I can pick up the phone and I can dial any number I want and my wife will answer. Right?
Right.
There's only one way she's going to answer, and that's when I use the right number and call that right number. I call on the right person, right?
Yeah.
She's going to answer me. It's the same thing. There's only one way to get to the Father in heaven, and that's to dial the right number.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus Christ. It's just, Jesus is who He claims to be, and He is the Son of God. Amen? He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, not just a Savior. He is the Savior. The resurrection shows that. It proves that. And that's what the resurrection does. It proves who He is. It validates it. It means Jesus has the power He claims to have also. Look at John chapter 10, verse 18. It said, No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Amen. No one could keep Him in the tomb, let me tell you. The Romans killed Him. And they made sure He was dead. They took a spear and they opened up His side and the blood and water flowed out from the wound. And they were absolutely positive He was dead. And then they took Him and they put Him in a tomb and they sealed the tomb with a heavy stone. And some writers even say that the Jewish leaders even had to mortar it in. They wanted to make sure that He wasn't coming out of there. And the stone would have weighed 4 tons, I think they estimated. Now, this is not a little stone. They placed guards at the entrance to make sure that no one bothered the grave, that no one could steal the body. And the guards were there 24 hours a day, but yet they could not stop Him from rising out of the grave, could they?
Right.
He said, I lay my life down and I can lift it up again. And no matter what you do, you can't keep me in the ground. Amen? The grave is empty today because He said He would rise again. He did what He claimed He would do. And that's why the tomb is empty this morning. And that's why there is no one there wrapped up, dead, and buried any longer. He had the power to rise from the dead, and He did. Amen?
Amen.
He is the resurrection and the life, and He has the power He claims He has. And it means Jesus does what He says He will do. He keeps His promises. He won't lie. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Let me tell you, that is the truth. He will never leave you or forsake you. What does He say He will do? He says He will rise from the grave. Now, it's one thing to say that it's something I can do, but you got to prove it, right? Anyone can claim they will rise from the grave, but only one has. Only one person in all of history has risen from the grave with a resurrected body and a glorified body. Amen? In fact, the Bible is full, really the Bible is full of stories about people who were brought back. I've heard people who have been brought back from the dead, people who've been resuscitated, you know. And the Bible has many stories. There are even people today who have died and came back to life. They have. Some of you may even have relatives or know somebody that's been resuscitated. But let me tell you, there's a difference between resuscitation and resurrection. There is a difference. People who are resuscitated will die again. Lazarus was resuscitated and he died again. Amen? Jesus is the only one who was resurrected and he lives forever. Amen? He will never die again. There is a huge difference, and those who have been resuscitated will still age. They'll still get sick. They'll die again, and at some point their bodies will give out. I'm starting to understand that more and more all the time. You see me hobbling around up here. But you know what? One of these days I won't have to hobble around anymore. Amen. Because of what Jesus did today. He made a promise and he will do what he says he will do. Right. Folks, Jesus may have appeared to be dead. His earthly human body really did die. But his spirit, Jesus never died. He came back with a body that would never die again, though. He came back with a body that would never grow old. He came back with a perfect body, a resurrected body. And Jesus said this in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me through he may die, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do all you believe this? It's the same question that could be asked today. He's still asking that same question. Do you believe this? Are you part of only the 66%? Are you part of the 40% that don't believe? When Jesus came back in a resurrected body, he came back to live forever. And there's no more aging again. There's no more death. There's no more pain. And he came back with a resurrected body. And the only one who could have come back that way, the only one person in all of history that has come back that way, and that was Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is who he claims he is. And Jesus has the power he says he has. And Jesus is able to do what he said he would do. And he said that he would be resurrected from the dead. And he was. From the grave. I want to ask you another question. Why does the resurrection matter? Why does it matter so much? Because Jesus is who he claims he is to be. Because Jesus has the power he claims to have. And because Jesus can do what he says he can do. Your sin can be forgiven. You hear me? Your sin can be forgiven. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like that word. I used that Friday night at our meal. We had a good Friday meal. Wonderful time. We had a good group of people there. And I made a comment about when you read the scripture and you'll see the word but in there. I like it. I pay attention to that. Because you can circle that word there, for the wages of sin is death, but, right there. I like that. I like it because what it says, the wages of sin is death, but it tells me that there's a change that is about to take place. Something bad was about to happen, but God can change that. And I've painted a lot of houses. This is way off the subject, isn't it? You're thinking, what's that have to do with this? I really don't mind painting. I kind of enjoy it. Sometimes a paintbrush is not very heavy, you know. But what I really enjoy about it is you can take a room that's all beat up and marked up and stained from life and beaten up and abused. And you can take that and after you cover it with a new coat of paint, it looks new again. You can't see the old anymore. It's been made new. You can do all that with your life too. If your life has been messed up and you carry a lot of scars and abuse, and if it isn't quite the way you'd like it to be, you get another chance. You hear me? You get another chance. You can start all over again. Jesus can repaint you. Jesus can repair you. Jesus can cover it up with the blood of Calvary. And you can stand before God perfectly clean. Your mistakes can be fixed. Your sins can be forgiven. And John tells us this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all we have to do is ask Him. All we have to do is ask Him. And He covers our sin. He'll fix your situation. Not only will He forgive your sin, you can also have a purpose in life. You can have a purpose for living. And if you look at John 10:10, it says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Amen. Not just life, not just a mediocre life, not just an unpassionate life, but He says you can have a life and have it abundantly, an abundant life. A life full of joy and a life full of passion. And I think we mistake that with happiness. That means that I can be happy or I can be joyous and I can be passionate still when bad things are going on around me in my life. When I got a busted up foot. Praise God. Amen. It hurts. It does. I'm not lying about that. It hurts. But you know what? I don't even care this morning. The same power that enabled Jesus to rise from the grave will help us face life together. Jesus came that we might have life and not just some future time. Not just at some future time, but life right here and right now. Heaven on earth, right? I know we talk about the future and we think, well, when we get to heaven, everything's going to be okay. Well, yes, it will. But Jesus said you can have an abundant life right here, right now. If you just trust me. If you just trust me, that same power that resurrected Jesus 2,000 years ago can be in your life right now. You can experience a spiritual resurrection. You can be made alive in Jesus Christ today. Man, that sends chills up my spine. knowing that that same power that resurrected Christ lives in me. Amen? That's something to jump up and shout about, I'm telling you. I'd dance if I could. Nazarenes don't dance, by the way. You know, we're not supposed to. That's a lie, too. I've seen some of you dance. He said, whatever you do, do for the joy of the Lord, right? All right. David danced in his loincloth, by all means. You're never going to see me do that. Ever. I'm just telling you. Ever. Amen? I get a good amen on that. Nope. But you can experience a spiritual resurrection, a spiritual awakening in your life like you've never experienced before. It's the base of our understanding of who Jesus is. When you know Him, you know the Father. If Jesus can rise from the grave, we can also rise above any problems that we have in our life. He gives us the ability to do so. I don't know what the future holds. I look around and I'm sometimes disgusted, sometimes depressed over what's going on around us, and I don't know what the future holds. But I know one who holds the future. Amen. Amen. And you may feel life is out of control sometimes. But let me tell you, it's not out of control for God. And He can give you a purpose for living. And you can have a home in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
We look at this verse earlier in Jesus, where Jesus said there in John 11:25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Ever. You hear that? So where are you going when you die? That's the biggest question. There is eternal life for everybody. And you can determine that with your decision today, where you're going to go. It's your choice. It's not my choice to make. It's not your mom and dad's choice to make. It's not just being an associate of somebody who has made that decision to accept Jesus in their life. It's a personal decision that we make. I work out my own salvation. I don't work my wife's salvation out. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids. But at some point in everybody's life, they have to make that decision all on their own between them and Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to make you my Savior. I want to live for you. It doesn't make you perfect. It just makes you forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
We stumble along a lot of times like a bunch of little toddlers beating their head against everything. And as we grow, as we mature, and as we get older, we don't bump our heads against the table so much. And we don't fall and skin our knee as much as we used to. And the closer we get to Christ, the more He helps us to get closer to Him. And we can go where Jesus went. When He ascended into heaven, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's where I'm going. I did what I said I was going to do here. I came and showed you what to do and how to live. Now go teach everybody else how to do that. Teach them. Tell them that what I did, and then tell them this. I'm going to prepare a place for you and everyone else who believes in me. There's only one way to get to heaven, and you must believe in Jesus Christ, and you must be friends of His. There was a father who took his son to a carnival one time for his birthday. And the son asked six of his friends to go along. And the father bought a whole roll of tickets for the seven boys. And each time the boys would get to a ride, the father would pull out the seven tickets and he'd hand them to the boys and they would go on the ride. And they went through several rides until they came to this Ferris wheel. And the father took out seven tickets and handed them to the boys, but he seemed to be one short. He did a head count and he found that there was eight boys now instead of seven. And he asked the eighth boy, he said, "Who are you?" And the boy said, "Well, I'm Joe. I'm your son's new friend. We just met today. And he said that you'd give me a ticket." And you know what? Joe got a ticket. Joe got a ticket. And the father said, "Any friend of my son, I'll take care of. Any friend of the son will be taken care of by the father." That's what Jesus said. Any friend, the father will look at you and say, "Hi, who are you?" "Well, I know Jesus." "Okay. Any friend of my son's is a friend of mine. Come on in." Well done. Let's pray. Father, you've told us that there is only one way that we can get to heaven, and that is by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that all of this world would come to know you, would come to know Jesus. I would pray that they would all ask for forgiveness. Lord, let us commit ourselves to you today. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that's really never made that commitment, maybe they've heard it 1,000 times, but in their heart, they've really never made that commitment. I pray that they make that commitment today. Father, we believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. Lord, help us today draw closer to you. Help us today work and navigate through this society, these things that we deal with in life, knowing this, that you are the resurrection and the life. Lord, I pray again, in Jesus' name, let us leave here better than we came, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the love that only comes from you, knowing who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.